Appreciate that. Okay, a couple of community updates. Renee is traveling this week. She left yesterday for Denver. They were going to see the leaves change in the mountains, so I know she's having a good time. And Audrey is still in Bosnia?
She's on her way back. She should be in Atlanta by tonight.
Okay, so she's been in Bosnia for the past 10 days, and there have been lots of peace celebrations and recognition of her run for Congress, I saw. So she's really going to come back just filled to overflowing with lots and lots of good energy, and we welcome her back to our community. She belongs to us. They may just think she's part of the world, but we know where her roots are. Okay, so choosing where to give. Choosing where to give. During the month of September, this whole month of September, our focus has been on service, community service, service to ourselves, our community, and our greater community of the world. So we've talked about healing the belief in separation, the belief that if we take care of ourselves, that that's somehow being selfish, to the idea that taking care of ourselves is our first obligation in our service to the world. If we don't take care of ourselves, we're not able to be out there and doing what we can in the world. That includes our health. Are we taking care of our health so that we can be vibrant and energetic and do what we can? Are we taking care of our finances so that we're allowing our good to flow through us so that we have more to share out in the world? So taking care of self is just a part of taking care of our greater world and community, because we're one, we're interconnected. You can't separate it out and say it's one thing or the other. It's all one. So that's the first idea that we're dealing with. So today I'd like for us to take a good look at choosing where to serve. Choosing where to serve, because there are so many choices as to where we will use our energy, our resources, our time, our talents. And part of our spiritual growth, part of our spiritual practice is discernment, learning to choose where is our place to serve, what is ours to do. And so that will help us to differentiate between and discern between all the different choices and not feel that stress that Melissa was reading about, that scatteredness that we are trying to do too many things for too many people. So there are a couple of points I'd like to offer and suggest to for you to consider. The first thing is that there really are no accidents. Wherever we are is where we need to be. Whatever is right before us is where we need to be serving, where we need to be reaching out. So our good isn't found in yesterday. We didn't lose it because yesterday's gone. Am I clicking? No?
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Your
okay.
Hearing is hitting your...
Yeah, I didn't know if it was making a noise. If it is, just give me a signal and I'll take it off. I don't want to. It'll ruin the look, but I'll take it off. So anyway, our happiness isn't found in what we did last year, last 10 years, yesterday. And our happiness is not found in what's going to happen in the future that we're anticipating or maybe leading into. Our happiness, the only way we're going to find true happiness and contentment is right here in this moment, in this present moment. That's where it is. And when we learn to be in the present moment, our stress just dissipates because we're fully present with all of our energy right here and right now. I remember when this idea first dawned on me, it was like one of those jolts that happens sometimes, you know, when you get an awakening to an idea, an aha, right? I was in a yoga class in Denver, Colorado, and we were just beginning the final relaxation, the final shavasana. And the instructor was walking around the room and saying some things to help us relax and let go. And she said, all of our problems in life are caused by regretting the past or fearing the future. Everything's all right now, isn't it? And it just kind of jolted me back to that present moment. And I realized how very true that was, how very true I was not being fully present. I was looking back or looking forward, flitting around, and not being in the moment and just relaxing in this present moment. So I often think of that. I often think of that reminder. So we never know what we're going to say that will stick with somebody forever. So when we aren't in the present, when we're not accepting the present, we're missing the gift. We're missing the gift. So right here where we are, exactly where we are in our individual lives, we have the opportunities to be of service. We don't have to plan how we're going to serve later or next time or whatever. We can look, what is before me to do? What is mine to do? We have perfect opportunities to share our gifts, our talents, our time, our financial resources, our attention. Everything is needed right here in this moment. I have a friend who is grappling with these ideas right now. Her life circumstances have brought her back home to be with her mom, who is having some health issues. And so she had to put her, she chose to, remember we're always choosing, she chose to put her life on hold for a little while to go back and be with her mom. And I have to tell you, it was a tumultuous relationship to begin with. She left home at an early age after she got her education and training, and she went across the country all the way to the other coast to sort out and find her own life and establish herself. And then through life circumstances, you know how those circumstances happen in our lives, she finds herself back home taking care of her mom. And so because she's doing this sacred service, her mom is able to stay in her home and have a happy experience. And my friend is sometimes grappling with the ideas of, but what about me? What about me? And so as we talk, we get to remind ourselves and her at this particular time that she is learning. She is learning. She's learning patience. She's learning understanding. She's learning compassion. And also for her, it came at a time in her life where her career had kind of taken a sideways turn, and she needed some time to relax, rest, and take care of her own health. And so by living at home, she's not having to meet the demands of a 9-to-5, and she's not having to support herself financially right now. So you see, it's a win-win. They're serving each other. Each one is doing what is theirs to do, and each one's needs are being met. But we sometimes have to remember that, because life can put us in circumstances that we didn't realize that we chose. But we chose from a higher level. We chose to do always the right and appropriate thing, the thing that would serve in the highest and best way. Some of you were with me a few years ago when we were starting the Montessori school, and I wound up teaching, which wasn't what I had chosen to do, but it was mine to do at that time. That was my way of serving at that moment, because there wasn't a better situation available. So it was mine to do, and I had to grapple with that. I had to work with that, because I was feeling like this shouldn't be happening this way. But it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect, and I can see that better as I get a little bit of distance from it, which is often what's happening. We can't always see it exactly as it's happening. So we can always trust that we are being divinely loved. Whatever is showing up in our lives right now for our service, we are being divinely loved. We are being given opportunities that are helping us to pull deeper within ourselves and pull out those gifts and talents that we may have not even realized that we had. Many parents go through this. I'm speaking for myself as a parent, of being with these little ones and knowing, do I have the patience, the stamina, the creativity, the know-how to meet the needs of these children? You know, can I do this? And I know as a parent, I was often plagued with self-doubt and exhaustion even, and conflict within, wondering if I could do this. I mean, it looks easy on the outside, but when you're in the inside, it's not so easy to know if you're doing what is appropriate to do in every moment, if you're giving what needs to be given in every moment. So it was an opportunity for me to look within and figure out some things. So when we're in these situations, like I said, we get to reach deep within and pull out gifts and talents that we might not know we had that much patience, we had that much stamina, we had that much creativity, we had that many resources. They were there, but we had never had a chance to bring them to the test. And so we get to expand and grow and be more of who we are when we're in these opportunities to give. So what I learned is that it's a process of surrender. I have to constantly surrender to the highest good, the greatest good for me and for everyone involved, knowing that there is no discrepancy in that, that what's good for me is good for the other. What's good for the other is good for me. There's a balance, and I can find that balance if I stay alive, alert, awake, aware, and looking for it, and acknowledging that Spirit has never left me out of this equation of happiness. I'm the one that sometimes has left myself out with my judgment, with my doubts, with my fears that the door was closed and I got left out of the benefits of life. So I invite you to look at some of those ideas, whatever your circumstances may be, and see where you're also the recipient of so much divine love. That power of surrender is a very great gift that we can use in our life as we're looking at the things that are before us to do. I'm a person who likes to stay busy, so I could identify with the reading that Melissa gave us. I like to stay busy, so there have been times in my life where I have planned my to-do list has been longer than my hours in my day. And so I realize, like the reading said, that sometimes that can be an ego trip. That can be a fallback from my dad used to say, don't just sorrow away. You're just soaring away. That was his expression. You're soaring away. So I didn't want to be soaring away. I wanted to be productive. I wanted to show that I was doing my part, that I was worthwhile. So I think I'm still dealing with some of those issues, and I'm learning to let go. But what I found works so good, because I do like to be productive, what I'm finding works so good is for me to surrender my to-do list to God. Surrender my to-do list to Divine Spirit. So I just can say, okay, you know all the things that I think I need to be doing today. What is the priority? I know that there's a greater wisdom, a greater intelligence than my human mind that can figure this out. Maybe some of these things don't even need to be done. And certainly they don't all need to be done by me. So Divine Spirit, you prioritize this list for me. Show me what is mine to do. And when I do that, I've done it for so long now that I'm getting into a habit of it, and I can just relax and let go. I can let go and know that I will always be doing what is mine to do, and I don't have to feel bad if I don't get something done. It may not have ever been mine to do, or it may not be mine to do today. And sometimes I get a little glimpse of I'll say, you know, sorry I didn't get to call you. Oh, I was busy all day yesterday. I couldn't take your call anyway. I think, okay, Spirit knew. You know, so sometimes we get little glimpses as to how perfectly it is working out if we can just surrender and trust that there's a divine intelligence that knows what to do, and we are one with that. We can align with that. We can know that. So my little affirmation is there's plenty of time to do everything that needs to be done by me. Now that's the catcher, that needs to be done by me. So as I've adapted that and it's become part of my way of looking at my life, I very seldom get overwhelmed anymore. I'm able to relax and stay plenty busy, but also have times to relax and take care of me, because that's an important part of the equation too. I learned that in my teaching experience when I would think, oh, I have to be busy tonight. I have to make this work. I have to do this paper. I have to do this. And somebody told me, you know, Glenda, you're the biggest material in that classroom. You need to take care of you first. That's what you bring to the children. And when I really got that, I realized it was good to take care of myself. It was good to value myself and my energy. Tom McLean, our former musician, used to encourage me to take downtime. He'd say, I don't know about other people, but I don't want a stressed out minister. So I really took that to heart, and I really tried to do that. I really tried to take good care of myself, so that's not something that I am living in. I'm really working on it. Now, I'm not perfect at it. I get caught up because it's something that it's my big work in life. But I am learning the importance of it, and I'm putting more and more value on that. So other times that we're called upon to give our gifts that can sometimes be confusing is to where do I give my financial resources? Where do I give my my money, my gifts of finance. And here's what I can say about that. I feel that the thing that's most important in all of our lives is our spiritual growth, our spiritual nurture. So I always give a full 10% and more when I can of everything that comes into my life to where I'm being spiritually fed. And for me, that's here at the Spiritual Enrichment Center. That is what feeds me, what nurtures me. And I want that to continue. So I want to acknowledge that and give to that. So that's my first priority. Now, after that, I look at where can I serve, where can I do beneficial things in the community. And so I look at the different options available. And I know if you're like me, I get lots of mail all the time requesting donations. I guess I'm on everybody's mailing list. And I'm also getting lots of phone calls asking for donations. Now, I know that I cannot possibly give to all of those places. So I just love and bless them, and I know that there are the right people who will be called to give to all of those different places. But I look for the things that have my name on them. What has my name on it? What lights up for me when I hear about it? Where do I feel called to serve? Where do I feel called to give? And that's where I give. And so when I decline to give to a place, I have no guilt whatsoever, because I know that that's somebody else's place to give. It's not mine, because it didn't call to me. So I'm perfectly fine with saying, no, thank you, I won't be able to help this time. I'm just hanging up or throwing the thing in the garbage, because it would be frustrating to try to give to every single need that came across your line of vision. You would feel overwhelmed and depleted if you tried to do that. So I encourage you to follow your guidance. That is how God speaks to all of us. God leads and guides us to where we need to be, where we need to give, what's ours to do, if we follow that guidance. So it's always a spiritual practice, learning to choose where to give of all of our resources and gifts is a spiritual practice. It's a spiritual practice of discernment, of listening to yourself, of trusting yourself, of asking Spirit to show me what is mine to do. Show me where it's mine to serve. Show me where it's mine to give. And then trusting that. Eric Butterworth said in Spiritual Economics, life's inmost secret. Don't we all want to know what is life's inmost secret? He says, life's inmost secret is the divine pattern in which you can only really know when you're giving yourself in service. So that's something, life's gift is what we know when we're giving ourselves in service. And Emma Curtis Hopkins said, if we feel there's a work to do, we may be certain we're the very ones to do it. That was paraphrased later in her work. This is, if you see a job, it's yours. So if you see something that has your name on it, that's calling to you. That's yours to do. So look for where you can serve. And Michael Beckwith said, you are here to serve the great law of life. It's the life of God that's thinking through your mind, working through your hands, walking through your feet. It does the work appointed for you to do and perfects that which concerns you when you no longer work for the little self, but serve the greater self of your being and the universe. So it's not about working, it's about serving. Edwene Gain tells a story in her book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, that I'd like to share. Edwene Gaines is one of our Unity ministers who is located up in Mentone, Alabama. And some of you know I went to a retreat up there in April for ministers, which was very beneficial. She's a great, great storyteller. So this is a story that she told in this book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. She said in the 70s, when she was accepted to ministerial school at Unity Village, that she went so eager to serve, so eager to teach. She had been called to be a minister. So she gets to the school, and she goes around to the churches in the area, and she announces, I'm here to teach. I'm ready to teach. Can you give me a job teaching? Well, she said they laughed at her, because what she didn't know was that every new minister who feels called to the ministry wants to start teaching, wants to start doing the work. And so the churches in the area were just inundated with all these eager young students. So she said, they laughed at me. They didn't want my services. I didn't know what to do about that. So I went home and I prayed about it. That's what she always says. I prayed about this. And what I was guided to do was go to the church nearest to me and offer myself in service. She said, so I went to the nearest church and I said to the minister, I'm here and I want to help. What do you need? What are the needs here? What can I do? And she said, so I was given a list of jobs. And I said, oh, I can do that. I can do those. Yes, yes, I can do that. She said, so week after week after week, I mopped the floors. I folded bulletins. I cleaned up after the children and straightened up the children's room. I did all of those things week after week after week. She said, you know what? Nobody even thanked me. Nobody even noticed. She said, but after a while, it didn't matter. I was so excited about being able to serve and give of what I had to do and what I had to give that I was just giving out of this great sense of joy, this great sense of the pleasure of just serving. She said it was a wonderful experience. And then one Sunday morning, about 6:30, I got a call on the telephone from the minister. And she said in this squeaky little voice, Edwin, I need your help today. I have laryngitis. She said, can you lead the adult Sunday school class and can you speak at the service today? And Edwin said, I was just bowled over. She said, I had thought I'd teach a little class. I didn't think about leading the whole service. She said, but I got in there and I had been of service and the universe saw that I was willing to serve, that I was willing to do what it took to make the world better. So then I got a bigger opportunity. That's how it always happens, isn't it? When we do what is before us to do, then we have the opportunity to do more in a greater way. So that's how she learned about the benefit of service and giving where you're called to be. So there's a book that I'm familiar with by Lauren Tyler Wright, and it's called Giving, the Sacred Art. And here are some of the ways that Lauren Tyler Wright suggests that we can be of service. You might find something here that you want to explore. She said, give your time. Volunteer at a nonprofit organization. Give your hospitality. Open your home and invite people in for a meal. Give your energy. Pray or meditate on the needs of others. Give your body by donating blood or signing up to be an organ donor. Give your possessions. Pass on clothing or household articles that you no longer need to be distributed through thrift shops or other means for people who can use them. And give forgiveness. Forgive those who have hurt you. So the points I want you to take away today is for you to give what is right for you to give. Even if you didn't consciously remember saying that you would serve in that way, remember that you said you wanted to be of service in the world. You wanted to do what was needed. You wanted to serve where your gifts and talents could be used. So remember that. Remember to give to your spiritual home, where you are being fed so that that can continue to grow in your experience. And create a lifestyle of giving so that always you're looking for opportunities of where can I be of service? Where can I do more? Because that is where your greatest happiness lies. Edwin Gaines reminded us in her book that Albert Schweitzer said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but this one thing I know. The only ones of you who will be truly happy are those of you who have sought and found a way to serve. A way to serve. That's how important it is. So are we willing to walk our talk? You know, we talk our talk a lot here, right? But we have to walk our talk. We have to put feet on it. Do what we're led to do. Are we willing to jump into the game of life and serve our greater community around us? How would it look if we all created a lifestyle of giving, a lifestyle of serving? How would that look out in the world? We have a community service part of our strategic plan that Jackie and I are going to be looking at, and we would love for you to join us, and let's look at more ways that we can serve our greater community. So we can do this. We can do it now. We can do it together. It all begins with you and with me. So I have an affirmation for us. It is, I love sharing my divine gifts with my community and the world. I make an impact here and now that resonates throughout the globe. Would you read it with me? I love sharing my divine gifts with my community and the world. I make an impact here and now that resonates throughout the globe. And so it is. Thank you.